Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome to Integrated. This is John Krotz, your host. I recently was in a great conversation with Todd Friel and some other Christian leaders from Fortis Institute. And one of the things that came up was the significance of our spiritual adoption, just how important that is. And sometimes in our circles, that doesn't get as much attention as some of the other great doctrines of salvation. But it was pointed out that J.I. Packer has a wonderful chapter about adoption and the fatherhood of God in his book, Knowing God. And Packer boldly claims that our adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers, higher than justification. Wow, here's the quote. To be right with God, the judge, is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is a greater. Wow. I remember the first time that I started studying the doctrine of adoption and the fatherhood of God. My brother is a pastor. His name is Jeff. He's now the pastor of Anchorage Grace Church in Alaska. Go visit him when you were on your Alaskan cruise. Anyway, he and I once had the opportunity, like on the same day, this is many, many years ago, when he was an associate pastor, to preach on Father's Day. And we said, hey, let's both preach on the fatherhood of God and see which one of us does better. Anyway, just for fun, you know how brothers are. And so that launched us both into this incredible study. And I have to tell you that before that Father's Day, many, many years ago, I didn't recognize the monumental significance of our spiritual adoption as children of God. And that was a great step in my sanctification to start to recognize it as I put together that sermon. Listen to some other theologians as they distinguish our adoption from other aspects of salvation. John Murray said that by regeneration, we are made members of God's kingdom, but by adoption, we are made members of God's family. So regeneration, that's another way of saying being born again. God saves us and makes us members of his kingdom. We were spiritually dead and now we're alive. But regeneration is different than adoption. Adoption makes us members of God's family. Wayne Grudem said, regeneration makes us spiritually alive. We can praise and worship like the angels. Justification gives us legal standing before God, but adoption is about our relationship. So that's really precious. This really is a wonderful truth. And lest you think we're overhyping it, I just would encourage you, let's spend a few minutes today to consider the significance of adoption and just kind of let it simmer, if you will, on the slow burn that the Lord might warm our hearts to the significance of this incredible spiritual blessing. If you have a Bible, go find Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, one of the main passages in the New Testament about adoption is found in Romans 8, 15 through 17. Now, verse 14 of Romans 8 picks up on the phrase, sons of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
Now let's pick up our text here. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So let's spend a little bit of time thinking about this passage. So he makes known that we are sons of God in verse 14, and then verse 15 begins with that word for, a connecting word of explanation or clarification. So this is good. What do we need to clarify here? You're sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. So that's talking about the decisive moment of salvation. When the Holy Spirit came in, he was not the spirit of slavery. Why would he say that? Is because many of us, before we become Christians, we are slaves, slaves to our flesh, slaves to rule keeping, where even the Jews, they turned God's law into like a book of rules that they had to keep for their salvation. But pagan religions, same thing. You know, I've got to do enough to be in a right relationship with God. And that's terrible. So maybe I should stop and just say, if that's you right now, as you're listening, wondering, have I done enough to be in a right relationship with God? Let me just answer that question. No, you haven't, and you never will, which sounds like a really hopeless thing until you realize that Jesus has done it all. Jesus lived perfectly. He obeyed every command that God ever gave. He perfectly pleased the Lord, and when he died on the cross, he died as a substitute in the place of lawbreakers, rule breakers, and, you know, we were slaves of our efforts, and we were failures at our efforts. Well, how do we know that his sacrifice worked? Well, God raised him from the dead, Jesus, on the third day. So the offer is, hey, put down your slavery, put down your rule keeping, put down the law books, and turn to me by faith and receive the free gift that I offer you today, eternal life. And your record will be clean. That's justification. But as we're learning, even better than that, you will be a son or daughter of the living God. God will be in relationship with you as your father. So the spirit of slavery, that's not what we're about. That just leads to more fear. But instead, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, as a new Christian, he comes as the spirit of adoption, as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. This is incredible. What an incredible thing. Our post-conversion status, yes, you're a slave of Christ, but you're more than that. You are a son or daughter of God. You have a good and caring father in your God. You have a special, close, personal, loving relationship with God. You have immediate, bold access to him in prayer. You have membership into his worldwide family. God is your father right now. And Christians, they're not just people on the same religious team as you. They're your brothers and sisters, because we all have the same spirit of adoption, and we are all linked up to the same spiritual heavenly Father. This is incredible. You can have freedom in your conscience and confidence in your relationship with God. You can have a calm heart because the work of Jesus done on your behalf, but you also have this great status as a child of the living God. The spirit of adoption has come into your life. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking what I'm thinking. I'm still a sinner. I really have rebelled against the Holy Creator so many times that I don't deserve a status like that. I'm really more like the devil's child. Even since I've made a profession of faith in Jesus, I still sin so much. I deserve to go to hell. Well, this is true. It's sadly true. But God loves you. And God made a way for you to be justly forgiven. And God made a way for you to be officially and eternally adopted. This is incredible. How can we grasp this? Well, let's go to break. And we're going to think some more about it because there is no way we can grasp the magnitude of our adoption. But guess what? The Spirit himself revealed this to us in the Bible. So he wants us to think about it. We're doing what the Spirit would have us to do by meditating together on the Spirit's book. So come back after the break and we'll think more about the significance of our spiritual adoption.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Crotz in just a moment. And you know, as he was talking in that first segment, I was thinking to recommend something to you that is going to transform your perspective. It's David Pallison's Seeing with New Eyes. Look, this is not just another theology book. Trust me, the first time you crack it open, I promise you, you will not be able to put it down. Dr. Pallison is going to show you how to take scripture and apply it to real world struggles. It doesn't matter what you're going through, worry, trying to figure out relationships, or just wondering how this whole child of God adoption thing works. Seeing with New Eyes by David Pallison. And I highly recommend you pick it up from the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of application, real world application, I want to talk about this cultural moment we're living in. The world is changing all around us, which is why Fortis Institute exists. We're responding with biblical truth and clarity. That's our goal. And so we brought together 8 new theologically sound voices that join Todd in equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. And so if you want to stay equipped for these challenges that we're living in, I got to recommend you become a Fortis Insider. Completely free, doesn't cost anything. You just sign up at fortisinstitute.org. 5 days a week, we're going to deliver solid biblical content right to your inbox. Videos, podcasts, hot takes, director's cuts. Doesn't cost you anything to sign up to become a Fortis Insider, and you can do it right now at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of biblical wisdom, for families, if you're a parent trying to raise godly children in this cultural moment, got to check out Thrive with Pastor Brad. Brad Bigney. Over 30 years of shepherding experience, Pastor Brad helps families move from surviving to flourishing in Christ, or thriving, hence the name Thrive. You can check it out at fortisinstitute.org. Just click the link for Fortis Plus. Download Fortis Plus as well to your mobile device. And hey, here's the truth. We can't do all of this that I just told you about alone. We need you. We need gospel partners who understand the urgency of this moment. People who recognize that in a world that's drifting from biblical truth, we got to stand firm together. So if you'll head to fortisinstitute.org and you'll join us in this vital work, we would greatly appreciate your partnership. You'll help us reach more people with more truth all over the world. FortisInstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Crotz as he continues to talk about adoption in Christ. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now, back to your host, Dr. John Crotz.
Welcome back. We have been meditating on a wonderful truth today. The fact that you are a child of God. God is your father. He didn't just save you, make you his slave, and stick you in a corner, never to have a relationship with you, but he loves you and he adopted you and he did it on purpose. Last few years, I think that there has been a little bit of a revival among evangelical churches about the importance of widows and orphans. And specifically, I mean orphan care. And many Christians have taken up the challenge to adopt those in need. And one of the great watchwords is a verse in James chapter 1, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. If we want to have true religion or religion that pleases the Lord, really every church has some part to play in orphan care, whether you are the one doing the adopting or you are helping your brothers and sisters who have gone onto the front lines and actually adopted a child. That's a great thing. And one of the reasons it's so great is because all of us have been adopted by God. We were sons and daughters of the devil, and God has adopted us into his family for all eternity. It's not just about our status, it's about our relationship with God. And we have been thinking about that in this episode. And we want to come back to Romans chapter 8, one of the two biggest significant passages in the New Testament about adoption. And we've seen this contrast. We didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, Romans 8, 15. But the opposite is, instead, we have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the authentic Aramaic intimate family word for a father, for dad. Some people say it's like daddy. And we have three wonderful granddaughters and a couple of more grandbabies on the way. And it's so fun to hear them learn to talk. And even as they learn to talk and say their little words, it's so adorable. Well, one of the first words that these little granddaughters have learned is dada, to speak to their sweet father, our sons-in-law. We're so proud of them all and thankful for them. Well, we have that kind of intimate relationship with God as our heavenly dad. So this word, Abba, is an authentic Aramaic word set up right next to the Greek word pater, which is translated father. So we can see the significance of it. This word Abba is the word that Jesus used in his prayers to God. I mean, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is crying out to Abba. Jeffrey Wilson said, when we realize that the spiritual experience of every believer is summed up in this one word, that is Abba, we are not surprised that it was preserved in transliteration by Greek-speaking Christians for the permanent enrichment of the church universal. You get that? Obviously, in the New Testament, many of the speakers were speaking Aramaic, especially in the land of Israel. But the New Testament wasn't written originally in Aramaic. It was written originally in Greek, but certain Aramaic words were preserved. Well, this one is one of the few that was, and it's so significant because this is our universal experience. So it wasn't enough for them to say, yeah, the word Abba, that's the same as the Greek word pater, father. So we can just put that into our writings and the church universal will be fine. No, they said, we've got to keep Abba because it is so precious to us. And we see that when the Spirit comes into our hearts, we're crying out, Abba, Father. This is like childlike, joyful gladness, trust, assurance. How wonderful is this? So you think about some of the people, right? Throughout the history of the Bible, there's something called progressive revelation, where we get more and more light as the story goes, right? So they had shadows and pictures in the Old Testament times that we have greater light as we see them fulfilled in the New Testament. Well, one of those shadows is animal sacrifices, right? Animals, the blood of bulls and goats never took away their sins. It was just a covering. It was a picture of what Messiah would do, as Jesus is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And we're so thankful for the fulfillment of that and that we can see the big picture. But just imagine your relationship with God under the old covenant law as you're doing those repeated animal sacrifices. What if you were alive or certainly heard the stories about your ancestors around Mount Sinai as God manifest his presence with thunder and fire and smoke on Mount Sinai? And it was so terrifying. The people are crying out, enough, you know, we can't handle God's presence and God's laws and God's commandments. And we want to walk with God, but this is so hard. We can't even access his presence. We're removed. Only the priest can go into the temple to offer the sacrifice. Only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies, only once a year, with blood for his own sins, as well as blood for the sins of the people. And so, somebody put it, as we're thinking about adoption, what a difference for you and me. You are a Christian child of God. You have all your sins dealt with by Christ on the cross once for all time, and you know it. It's not just pictures pointing forward to that reality. We know how these things are fulfilled in Jesus. We have been adopted by God himself. We just toddle across the sea of glass, past the 24 elders to the rainbow throne. Yes, there's still thunder and lightning flying around, but we just crawl up into God's lap because he is our dad. That sounds almost irreverent to say it that way, but wow. Christopher Ashe said that this Abba cry encompasses all the trust and all the security that is both necessary and possible for a human being to have on earth. You say, this is too much? This is too much. I'm not sure this even makes sense, and how could I ever process it, much less as I said at the beginning of our episode that we wanted to simmer in it and think about it. How are we going to do this? How are we going to make any progress at all? Well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit who came into your hearts and cries out within, Abba, Father, also supernaturally impresses this truth upon your little brains and my little brain. What do you mean? Look at verse 16 of Romans 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Well, what is this? This connects the Abba cry with all of its emotions of joy and trust and love to the source. The Spirit's confidence flows like a river into your heart. Christopher Ashe again said, this doesn't make you a child of God. It makes you aware that you are a child of God. And there again, we want to say how. And the answer is, it doesn't say how. We don't know. There is mystery in this. It seems like a combination of things. Faith to believe God's word, illumination of our minds to understand its significance, but also a direct influencing of our heart and mind to communicate an inner certitude, sealing to our hearts that the promises belong to us as God's children. We just know it. And we're heirs. We've got an inheritance coming. So, brother and sister, I hope you take heart today. And I hope this is meaningful to you and it lifts your heart, that we don't now just respond mentally and check a box, but now that we've got this relationship opened up and unlocked, that we live in light of this truth. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but go and do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.